Welcome to Walk in the Spirit, an expository teaching of God's Word. Walk in the Spirit is the audio outreach ministry of Pocatello Baptist Church. It is our prayer and desire that with the help of this message, we all will learn to walk in the Spirit.
John chapter 4, and let's just take a look at our text again this morning together. If we look at the miracle of faith, what I would call this, a miracle of faith. And we'll discover why I consider this a miracle of faith here in a moment. John chapter 4, picking up at verse 46, we'll read through verse 54 again this morning. It says, "So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down, ere my child die. And Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. The man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And he was, as he was going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to be two men. And they said unto him, Yesterday, the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at that same hour in which Jesus had said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed in his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Let's begin this morning with a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you for this day and this time. We thank you and praise you for your precious and perfect word, Lord. And Lord, we pray this season, Lord, as we are reminded of the greatest gift, yourself incarnate in the flesh, come down to die at the hand of your own creation, Lord. Lord, we thank you so much for this, just how you can instruct us through these things. And we pray now, Lord, that you receive the glory of this season. Lord, let us put aside the hustle and the bustle of the things that are out there, Lord. Let us help and remember how wonderful a God you are, how much you care about us, and how much we care. We just want to honor you in all we do. We pray these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. So this year, as we light the four candles of the Advent season in preparation for our Christmas celebration, we're going to be looking together at four miracles. I mentioned this to you already. And in these four miracles that will celebrate God incarnate, the creator of all, coming down in the form of a babe born in Bethlehem, a manger to welcome him, and a wicked generation to see him, and a cross awaiting him. All of which he suffered for those of us who through the miracle of his birth, life, death, and resurrection received the greatest gift the world has ever known, true and living God, heaven and earth, and eternal life in his presence. So the first miracle we're going to look at is the miracle of faith. Let me take us all back for a moment, and for some of us, this will be a shorter journey than for some of the others. Do you remember the excitement you used to have the night before Christmas when you were going to go downstairs and open your presents? And how you just get so excited. And one of the things you would get excited about as a child, I remember, you would wake early in the morning, the one day of the year that every child in America wants to get up early. You'd wake early with the anticipation and excitement of what awaited you underneath the tree. Oftentimes, though, it was because you had had made a request, be it to your parents or somebody else or whatever the case may be. You made a request for a gift, and you just believed and knew that that gift was going to be under that tree. Maybe perhaps you even saw a box under the tree with your name on it that was similar to the size of what you had asked for. So you're like, oh, it's going to be there. I know it's going to be there. You're so excited. But if you honestly believed that it was there, then you wouldn't have had to get up early, would you? I mean, if you knew it was there, it wouldn't matter. It's going to be there whenever you got it. Well, maybe that's partly true. Maybe it's because you're excited about the fact that you finally got to unwrap it and realize the greatness of what that gift really was that you were anticipating, as you were excited about it. I want to talk to us this morning, if you would, about this idea. And you believed, honestly, that you had that faith. That's what that belief is. You had the faith that that gift was going to be underneath that tree. But until you opened that gift, you received that gift, you opened it up, tore into it, ripped open the box, and found out, because you have to get in the box, right? Because you can't believe the picture on the outside. One of the worst tricks I ever pulled on me was pulled by my great-grandmother. She gave me a box on Christmas. I was so excited to tear into it. I opened it up, and the box had a pink iron. Plastic little girl's iron on the outside. I had been instructed to be gracious. Thank you, Grandma. It's just what I wanted. She started laughing. I've never seen my great-grandmother laugh harder in her life. She started laughing. She's like, you should open the box. And there was a Nerf football in there. I was so excited. Anyway, so point being, then I went outside, immediately played the football, threw it on her roof, in the snow, got stuck, had to wait to spring to play with it. Okay, so point being is that you know you're excited about what it is. You're excited about, and until you open the present, you get into it, then you realize the fullness of what you've really received, haven't you? But the question really is, did you really have the faith that it was there? Or did you didn't really know the faith, or you thought you had faith, but you really didn't have the faith, because if you honestly thought it was there, you wouldn't have been so anxious about it, wouldn't have been so excited about it, wouldn't have been, whatever the case may be. This is what we're going to look at this morning. The miracle I want to share with us, the miracle of faith, which is also the first candle of the Advent, which we'll light this year. Look it back again in our text, if you would, and just read verses 46 through 47 with me as we work through this together. John chapter 4, verses 46 through 47. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So here we have a nobleman, someone belonging to a royal household, or to the royal household, if you would. This is the beginning of the miracle of faith. Why? Because this man would have no doubt, have never really known want in his life. Never really known desire. He was of the royal household. Now, doesn't this mean he was a royalty? Doesn't this mean he was a king? But he was of the royal household. He was a nobleman. He would have been well taken care of, well fed, well provided for through the nation. But he knew want and his need, and he had a need, even that his position and his wealth could not take care of. He could have, I'm sure that by this point he had hired all the best doctors or physicians that were out there to come and take a look at his son. Come heal my son. Come do something for my son. I mean, he would have spent whatever he possibly could have to heal his son. And if you would, he finally came to a place of emptiness when he finally recognized that all that he had may have had going for him could not provide the one thing that he really desired at that moment, could it? Now, we could just spin off of that for a moment and examine ourselves and our faith, could we not? Have you come to that place where you finally recognize the emptiness of all the things that you're putting your faith in this world? And recognize that the only thing that you really need is Jesus Christ himself? But what I'd like us to remember about God is that those that would have faith is this. Turn to me to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 43, when you get there. Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 43, we read these words. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all. That the word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began in Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And he witnessed we are witnesses of these things, which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the apostle and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witnesses that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." God, first of all, is not a respecter of persons. First thing we have to come to, if we're going to come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to recognize that God is not a respecter of persons. It doesn't matter what your family heritage is. It doesn't matter whether or not you have a long lineage of faith. And you know, my great-grandfather, my father, my great-grandfather, all of them, they were all pastors. They were all preachers. It doesn't matter. That's not what brings faith. You have to first recognize God is not a respecter of persons. It doesn't matter what your heritage looks like. I don't mean to be rude. We want a good heritage. I want a good heritage for my child. But my child doesn't get to go to heaven because I'm a pastor. My child gets to go to heaven when he puts his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the only reason why.
And so the heritage, I want a good heritage, and I want for generations that the Lord should tarry. I want for generations after me to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. But that doesn't make a difference, does it really, ultimately? In the eyes of God, he's not a respecter of persons. You don't get to plead before him, but I not only did I have that kind of heritage, I gave. I always gave. And every time the church doors were open, I was there. Okay. What do you think that bought you? See, there's only one way to be saved. That's faith. It's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it doesn't really matter all of the
things that we do, guys. He's no respecter of persons. See, God is not a respecter. All we need to come to that same place and to come to that emptiness, if I can put it to you that way, is to believe. And in other words, we have to come to a place where we recognize that I can't do anything without Jesus Christ. I need him, and that's all I need. So as we go on now and we think about this idea, I want us to begin to look at this faith this man displayed. I read that whole passage we just read through, not only because I want to get to respect her, but I want you to notice there in verse 35 it says, "But in every nation he that feareth him," by the way, notice it says every nation. All right? There's not only a select few that get to know Jesus Christ, this is available to the entire world. All right? If it were not so, God would not have said it was so. God says, hey, the salvation is available to everyone. He desires that none should perish, that all should come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, he fully recognizes not everybody will, the same way we do. But he desires them all to be. Anyone who worketh righteousness is accepted of him. And then, as I said in our text there as well, and I want to point this out, remember that it was Christ. It was Christ. Even that Jesus of Nazareth, the one we're going to be speaking about through this holiday season, that babe born in a manger. God is not a respecter of persons. No, each and every one who will see God must have come in the same manner, which is in righteousness and in fear. In Acts 10:43, it says these words to us. To him gave all the prophets witness that, we just read this, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive the remission of sins. See, God's not a respecter of persons. All you need to come to him in the same manner is belief and in faith. Now, as we begin looking at faith of this man displayed in our text this morning, then we'll look at the Lord's reward of his faith as well. So back in our text now in John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Continue to read. Read verses 46 and 47 with me again if you would. It says, "So Jesus came again to Canaan of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. This man was from Capernaum, and he went to meet the Lord at Canaan." Capernaum, meaning a village of comfort. That's what it literally translates as. But you never thought about that one, right? This man was at a village of comfort, and he went to meet the Lord at Cana, which literally translated means a place of readiness.
So in other words, this man, before he came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, had to first of all recognize that his comfort was not where he was, but where the Lord found him ready. In other words, he had to humble himself and leave that, all that he knew, all that comfort, all his creatures, and all the things. And honestly, it's not what the Lord says. Unless we're willing to give up mother, brother, son, I'm paraphrasing obviously here, give up everything, give up this whole world, you're not worthy of him. We all have to come to that place of readiness. All I need, Jesus, is you. That's faith. That's it. It's not the things of this world, it's not the money, it's not the big checkbook, it's not the house on the hill, it's not my car, it's not my friend, it's not my school, it's none of those things. All I need is him. A place of readiness. Leave that village of comfort behind, brothers and sisters, and go to that place of readiness where you can meet the Lord. Does that make sense? Don't worry about what this world has to offer. Don't worry about the comfort of this world and all the things that the villages of this world have to offer us. Worry about that place of readiness where the Lord Jesus Christ is found. Lord, I'm ready. Whatever you have for me, I'm ready. That's what this man did. He went there with a purpose. He had a desire, didn't he? I mean, we should go there with a desire too. When I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ on the streets of Las Vegas, Nevada, I came to a place of readiness, which was finally, well, actually, I wasn't that night, but the next morning, I came to a place of readiness, which was, I am tired of thinking about myself. I need you, Lord. I need your forgiveness. I need heaven, eternal life through you only. I had to come to a place of readiness. But so many of us think our skills are going to get us somewhere. And I'm going to be honest with you guys. I look out in our congregation here, and I see some majorly talented people. People who have a lot of skills. Maybe you're not using them. You know, for whatever reason, you just think, well, those are mine. Nobody else gets to use them. God, you can have everything in my life except for me. But honestly, we have to come to that place of readiness. It says, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you have. Because we can't be Capernaum. We can learn about even this idea, because if we leave this world of comfort, we must come to the Lord with a heart of readiness. Turn with me. Oh, actually, I was going to read it to you. Luke chapter 17, verse 19 says this. And he said unto them, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. See, remember when he healed the 10 lepers? One returned to give glory to God, and Jesus responded to him, thy faith hath made thee whole. Are you feeling like you're lacking something in this life? Do you feel like you're falling behind in something? Do you feel like there's something that's missing in your life? Well, let me tell you what you need. Faith. That's it. It's that simple. Love you guys, that's it. I need to know, I have to have friends, I have to have people, I have to have things, I have to have, what do you have to have? I mean, seriously, what do you have to have? And what do you take with you? I have buried many people over the last several years. The only thing they took with them is the clothes they put in there, maybe a couple notes or something like that. But guess what? They're still in the ground. They're not. They didn't take anything with them. See, we all think we have something to take. What do you hold on to? Why aren't you just giving it all to Jesus? It's yours, use it. Have faith in him. Thy faith will make thee whole. See, here's the beautiful part
about it. When you finally get to that place that you realize all you actually need in life is Jesus Christ, you're whole. And you're free. Amen. Absolutely, Barbara. That's absolutely right. You're whole. Guys, I love my wife. I love my son. Lord, but I don't need them. Those are just a gift. Those are a blessing. What I need is Jesus. I mean, I don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I don't want my wife and I don't want my son. But what I need is Jesus. And I'm afraid that oftentimes when I allow those, when I start to put Jaden or Chandra or anything else in the place of Jesus Christ in my life, I'm afraid. You know why I get so afraid? Because I'm afraid he's going to take them from me so he can remember all I need is him. So he can drive me to a place where I got to recognize all I need is him. So healing comes by faith. But what is faith? I mean, ultimately, what is faith? Turn to me to Hebrews chapter 11. We're all familiar with that, the hall of faith, we call it. Hebrews chapter 11. It starts out this way for us. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report, like Christmas morning. Isn't that what that sounds like? You believe it's there. My gift has to be under the tree. It's got to be there. So by faith, we rush out of bed and we go down there and we tear it open. Why? Well, because to a certain extent, we didn't really believe it. Can it really be so? Is it really that way? But then our faith is realized by the evidence when we tear into that box, isn't it? Remember, open the box. Boxes are deceptive. All right? Learn that at a young age. I'm telling you guys right now. Okay? Because a lot of people have pretty boxes that are fully empty. Some of you are going to think about that one for a while and think later on. Okay? A lot of people have pretty boxes that are completely empty. So the point of the matter is this. We have to recognize, just like that Christmas morning, that what faith really is. But faith is, I have this expectation. And then it's going to be met with evidence. And that evidence is going to confirm that faith. Now, the Lord has confirmed my faith time and time and time and time again. Yeah, I haven't gone to heaven yet. But he has met me at my faith so many times. When he said I can trust in him, I can depend on him, he's never gonna leave me, he's never gonna forsake me, all those things like that. He's met me 1,000 times, if not more, I'm sure. My faith has been met with evidence. It's that substance, that's that substance. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That substance is a confidence, but the evidence is the proof. And notice, by the way, that he goes on after that passage, right? He goes on after that passage and he starts talking about the world. In Hebrews 11, he says what? Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word. See, I didn't used to necessarily think that God made everything. Oh, I thought there was something who made everything. I was never so ignorant, honestly, and honestly foolish to believe that this all just happened. All right? But there are a lot of people who unfortunately want to try to buy into that lie. But here's the point. When I finally came to the Lord Jesus Christ, it all made sense. Does that make sense? I mean, you start to see clearly all of a sudden. Oh, yeah. Oh, I can see how the Grand Canyon was formed. Yeah. Paul Bunyan didn't do it. Right? You see, some of you have seen that cartoon, you know what I'm talking about. All right? Okay? Paul Bunyan and the Great Lakes, it wasn't Babe. All right? God did these things. And so we can look at those things, and now we have our faith met with the evidence. We go, duh. Okay, that makes sense. It is by faith that all who have ever trusted in the Lord would see heaven and would still have a good report. Look down to verse 6 of that same passage, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's impossible to please him without faith. Why? Because without faith, you never accept his only begotten Son. The only way to have fellowship restored and the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. And that's it. Not your works, nothing like that. You don't believe that? The Philippian jailer asked a very simple question. Didn't he? Good sirs, what must I do to be saved? Acts chapter 16. You remember what the response was? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Believe and go to church. Believe and do your works. Believe and do... No. Believe. Have faith. That's all it means. Pistis in the Greek. It's faith. That's all he's saying. Have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. But our Lord Jesus told us in a more directly way, even when he said this in John chapter 6, verse 38 through 40. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of the Father which has sent me. Of all that which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at that last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at that last day. Can't get any more direct than that. Jesus said, you want to know how do you get to heaven? You want to know how you have everlasting life? Very simple, believe. There it is. Faith. All right, back in our text now to our miracle. I want to show you the faith in this miracle. John chapter 4. Look at verse 47 with me now. It says, in John chapter 4, verse 47, it says, when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Notice that this man, the only basis for his faith was what? That he had heard about Jesus. That's what it says. Oh, we lost it again today, huh? Okay, cool. Couldn't turn that off, Jaden. Now y'all have to use your Bibles. Sorry. All right? But listen, it says there in John chapter 4, verse 47, when he had heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down, heal his son. He heard. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This man was not only, I'm sure, hearing of the things what Jesus had done, but not only hearing what things Jesus had done, but what things Jesus had said. That's hearing, isn't it? Well, Jesus said this. Well, Jesus said that. So he heard and he had faith. Continue on in John chapter 4, verses 46 and 47, one more time. Here we go. All right, and I'm sorry, since this isn't working, it will not open back up for you again. Okay, cool. Anyway, all right, sorry, I had a map for you all to look at this morning, but you don't get to see it this morning. So, all right, so you just have to take me in my word here. John chapter 4, verse 46 through 47, it says, so Jesus came into Cana of Galilee, where he made water wine, and there was a certain old man whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he had heard that Jesus came out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Now, here's where you get to see the map, all right? Okay, here's the point. I want to share something with you about this faith that this man had, all right? And it's very important to notice this. Notice that the man came from Capernaum, right? And he met Jesus at Cana. During the common routes of this time, if you were going to go on the common routes from Capernaum to Canaan, it was approximately 18 miles. All right? It was 18 miles. So, like, basically from here, just about to Blackfoot. Okay? So, 18 miles. And why does this matter? Because the average human walking speed is about 3.5 miles an hour. Meaning it would take this man about 5.5 hours to walk it. All right? But because we're speaking about a nobleman, there's better than not chance he likely would have used a horse, right? And the horse's average canter, not necessarily just a trot and not a full-out gallop kind of thing, but just kind of moving along at a pretty good clip. The average horse's canter, of course, this all depends upon the size of the horse, all right? Depending on how many hands it is. But if your horse had little bitty legs, then it can be a little bit slower, okay? But if you're talking about a full-grown, kind of normal horse here, all right, the average rate of a canter of a horse is anywhere between 10 to 17 miles per hour. So depending on how many, depending on how big the horse was, all right, and let's just take this at the smaller end of 10, okay? If this horse moved along at the clip of 10 miles an hour, it would take him 2 hours to get there, to travel that distance. Now, this matters because we'll see more of this man's faith here in a moment when we look at this, okay? But I want to look at something else first. John 14, 48 through 50 says, "Then Jesus said to him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him," okay, "Sir, come down here, my child die." And Jesus said to him, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. So Jesus says, it will be so, and this man believed. That's all that happened, isn't it? Jesus said, your son lives, and this man believed. Now, many of us don't even have that kind of faith, do we? When Jesus said, I will provide for you, do you believe him?
When Jesus said that everything I do is for your good, do you believe him? Do you take him at his word? This man said, all this man said, thy son liveth. Now, there's no doubt in my mind that this nobleman would have had every possible known modern medicine at that time tried on his son. And now some guy just says, your son lives. Okay. But he believed. And his belief was an amazing belief. We're talking about why it was such an amazing belief here in a minute, okay? But his son believed, this man believed him. Remember, the Lord asked, unless you see, you will not believe.
But it was not so with this man. This man heard and he believed. And he went away believing is what it says, right? It says, and the man believed the word of Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And they continue on in our text, verses 51 through 54. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then he inquired of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, thy son liveth. And he himself believed in his whole house. This again is the second miracle that Jesus did as he came out of Judea and Galilee. Now, if you didn't catch this man's faith in this passage, let me slow it down a little bit for you here. You ready? Look at when it says the fever left his child. Yesterday in the seventh hour. The father was told his son had been healed the day after it happened. How far away was this man? And by the way, let me just, the seventh hour, just so you don't get confused, okay? How they measured the days of the hour is not by a clock like this, okay? It started at sunrise and ended at sundown, okay? They counted from sunrise on, basically, okay? So the first hour would be approximately 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. All right? The second hour would have been 7 to 8, so on and so forth. So the seventh hour would be between noon and 1. Now, if it took you 5.5 hours to walk home to see if your son was alive, and you got done at 1, you could be home by 6:30 in the evening, which wouldn't have been dark at this time. Would you have done it? When you said your son lived, you believe him, and you were on the table to figure it out. Same way you jumped up on 54 to 6:30. I mean, honestly, I know I would have. Even if I had to walk. But if I had a horse, like one of my little men, 2 hours. 2 hours. Just the same with the outside at 1 o'clock. You could be home by 3 o'clock to find out whether your son was alive. But when did he find out? much so that he'd even rush home to find out if it was so. The next day, his servants met him, so he wasn't even home yet. So that means he hung out a little while in the morning too, doesn't it? He didn't get up right out, didn't jump up at first light and take off for home. His servants met him. And then he inquires, when did that happen? Yesterday at the seventh hour, and he knew it was when Jesus had said that. So the miracle took place the day before. That is faith, brothers and sisters. This man had faith. When Jesus said it was so, he believed it. That is an amazing miracle of faith. And one of the things I find so miraculous about it comes in the idea of who this miracle happened to.
And why I say that is because, remember, it says he was a nobleman. We already talked about that. All right? This man had resources. This man had the abilities and whatever the case may be. If I had servants as well, he could have sent one of his servants to go home and come back and tell him. But he didn't. He just waited and had faith that it was so. He had faith and an amazing amount of faith. And one of the things that makes it so amazing to me is the fact that he went from a man of great stature to a man who humbled himself before God and then believed him.
So, what about us? We just heard about this man's faith. Having not seen, but he made his request known to the Lord, he went away believing that God was going to take care of it, didn't he? So let me ask you, brothers and sisters,
this season, when we're celebrating the birth of this babe, God incarnate in the flesh, when he came down, he said, I'm going to take care of it. Provide all you need. My Lord, provide all you need according to his My God shall supply our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. And he said that. When you make your request known to God, do you go away believing? Do you go away believing? When you make your request, when you get on your knees and you pray before your God, do you believe that he's going to do what he said he's going to do for you? And do you trust him for the answer? Or do you go, okay, Lord, here's what I need, and then you get up and start figuring how you're going to provide it? How are you going to do it? How am I going to do this? How am I going to take care of this? Now, I'm not saying sit around. Lord, I need gas for my car. Okay. So I'm just going to sit here and somebody's going to pour gas into my house or something. No, Lord can provide, but sometimes you've got to be out there doing something the Lord can do. Talking, asking, letting your request be known before God. But this man believed it. This season, if there's one thing we should be believing, is that our God is on our side. We should have faith that God is on our side. Why? Because God came down and dwelt in a baby, was a child. My son asked an amazing question today. Did Jesus cry? How many of you ever asked yourself that question, right? Did Jesus cry? Well, he's a fully man. I believe Jesus absolutely did cry. He didn't cry for the same reason a lot of us cry. He wasn't selfish about his tears, right? But babies communicate through crying. Isn't that how they communicate? I mean, if a 14-year-old comes to you and they start, whatever. Right? But, a 6-month-old starts crying, you tend to his needs, aren't you? That's how they communicate. Now, I'm not saying that even little babies are sinless. Right? Sometimes they cry because they're selfish. I just want to be held. I need time. All right? If it weren't so, there wouldn't be so many tired new parents out there. Alright? But the point of this, guys, is that you believe that your Lord loves you enough that he would provide for you and take care of you. In this season, when we give gifts, and I'm not saying don't give gifts, guys. I'm not saying you can't exchange gifts or somehow we're celebrating a pagan holiday to do so. Yeah, well, you're driving a pagan car too, so get over it. All right? Sorry. You use an apple, you're defecating. Okay, maybe you're not, but the founder was. Okay, anyway. All right. I'm joking around. But honestly, I'm not saying you can't do those things. But do you believe that God's going to take care of those things? Do you believe that God wants the best for you? Do you have faith that no matter what happens in your life, no matter what may happen, God is for you? Or do you think that, I just got to make my request known, and then I go out and work my tail off somehow to make things happen? We talked this morning in Sunday school. Sean and I got in danger of creating financing one time in our life. That's what we call it, because we like to make ourselves feel better. All right? We call it creative financing. You guys know what that means? Right? Like these check loan places and stuff like that, creative financing. Okay? We didn't trust in our Lord. I mean, we were believers at that point, right? Oh, Lord, you know what we need? Oh, look, a check casting place. That must be from God. I'm guaranteeing you they're not. All right? Just guaranteeing you that. All right? So, but honestly, do you believe it? You have that faith. In this season, we're celebrating the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're celebrating how he brought faith to us and we have faith in him.
Are we going to be like the nobleman when the Lord says it, we're going to believe it? Even to the point that we can what? Rest? Relax? And trust? Or are we going to have to rush out there and figure out a way to solve it? Make sure it's true. I pray that as we celebrate this Advent season, and I had another cool slide that I want to share with you guys, all right? I'll share it in a minute here, okay? But I pray that this Advent season, that we will leave knowing that the Lord spoke and we have heard, that we live today and all days with faith, we will see him. And we'll have all our needs.
Thank you for studying God's Word with us on Walk in the Spirit. To hear more of this or other portions of Scripture, please visit www.PocatelloBaptistChurch.com or you can write us at 190 West Chapel Road, Pocatello, Idaho, 83201. If you live in or are visiting Southeast Idaho, we would like to have you join us here at Pocatello Baptist Church for any of our services. Our service times begin with Sunday school at 9 a.m., Sunday worship at 10 a.m., and Sunday evening study at 5 p.m. We have a midweek study and prayer service for both adults and youth on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Child care is available for all of our services. For more information or directions, please call us at 208-237-4915. Until next time, God bless you as you walk in the Spirit.